Life Audio.
Hey, listeners, we just wanted to give you the heads up that this is going to be our final episode of the year. We're going to take a couple weeks off and then be back in January with more podcasts for you. We have a couple favors to ask of you. If you have enjoyed the podcast this year, would you please consider rating and reviewing it at your preferred podcast platform, wherever that is, whether that's Spotify or Apple or wherever. Also, if you've bought and read our book, The Happy Rant, would you do the same thing at your favorite book buying platform? Those ratings and reviews are really significant in helping other people discover the podcast and discover our book and continue to spread the word about it. Lastly, we would love it if you would consider supporting us financially at Patreon. You go to patreon.com. You can search for The Happy Rant. If you support us for any amount monthly, you'll get our bonus episodes there. And then at certain levels, we actually give away free copies of books as well, just as a thank you. That is so meaningful to us. It helps us cover our costs, do live events, all of those things. We are so grateful for you. We wouldn't even have a podcast if it wasn't for listeners. You make it worth it. So thank you. Have a great holiday. And you'll hear from us in January.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we got a quick episode dialed up today based on a bit of breaking news. It's breaking news that I want to share with you guys. It has to do with Christmas. I think it's going to be a little controversial. So should we dial up the jingle?
Yeah. But what kind of jingle?
Like punching that up jingle? In the studio. No. Like the breaking news jingle. Yeah, here we go. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Here's the breaking news, boys. We're not putting a tree up this year. No tree. No Christmas tree.
Oh, John Piper approves this message.
My gosh.
Pipe, make sure you tell your dad I want to score some points with your pops. I know this is going to be hard for you, baby, so I want you to talk me through what you're feeling. We're going to litigate this in the courtroom of Happy Rant Radio, and I've got some stuff I could add to it, but I want to first give you the floor as, you know, the reigning heavyweight, well, in your case, lightweight champion of Christmas.
Thanks for that. That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. How does this hit? Yeah. How does this?
Well, hit? I mean, it hits badly.
Okay.
It hits hard. I think. I think what I'm always thinking when somebody drops a piece of, you know, tragic information on my lap is it's not really the info, but it's what's the story behind, what's the guy behind the guy with this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like what's the story behind the story?
Yeah.
Because I mean, unless there's a logical reason, like, hey, we're going to be out of town for 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd be hard pressed to find a reason why that wouldn't be included.
Yeah.
In your life. Yeah.
I want to say in this moment, I hear what you're saying. I receive that. And, you know, I would just ask everybody to respect, you know, my family's privacy during this hard time. I want to give Piper a second to just weigh into the bombshell of news. And then we're going to do this like a debate, like a courtroom. So I'm going to have a couple of minutes to say my piece, and then you guys will respond to it. But Piper, you respond to the bombshell of news.
Well, yeah, as somebody who grew up never having had a Christmas tree until I was an independent adult, and, you know, married to somebody who did grow up with Christmas trees, this stirs up some mixed feelings in me because,
yeah,
on the one hand, I kind of think that's awesome. And on the other hand, I think, but why is that awesome? Is it just that misery loves company? So I guess what this leads me to is I think I might need a little more context. Mm-hmm. My biggest question is, what is your centerpiece decoration that replaces the tree? Because for us growing up, it was this hand-carved wooden nativity set made in like the 1970s in Germany that my parents picked up when they lived over there. So that was our centerpiece. So I need to know what yours is to kind of picture what's actually going on here.
That's fair, boys. And that's good dialogue by both of you. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back and answer those questions. All right, we're back. Here's the deal, boys. I really appreciate how respectful you were during that first round of dialogue. I know, baby, especially for you, it took some restraint. I could hear the emotion in your voice, and I just want to say that you handled that with tenderness and care. So thank you.
Well, baby, I appreciate that. You know, I'm struggling right now, but for your sake, you know, I care about you. I care about you and Double K. I care about your kids.
You know, thank you.
I care about that. Yeah.
So here's the deal, boys. Just to paint a little picture of my house and my living room. So we've got this massive fireplace, like this really amazing fireplace and hearth that is sort of the nerve center, like the spiritual, like, middle of our living room. And we got the real high ceilings, the big windows on either side. And so to try to like shoehorn a Christmas tree in and make it the centerpiece of a room that already has a very natural centerpiece to it has always felt like a bit of a deal, dude. It's felt like we've been trying to force something that isn't really there. So I will say this, KK has done a fabulous job with wreaths, with various like boughs of holly, various like kind of small decorative like trees. She has created a Christmas motif around the hearth and in the room that to me delivers the kind of Christmas magic that you want out of a room, with the fireplace as the center. Because one of my favorite things about winter, dude, cold night, build that fire, get it crackling, pull that blanket over you on the sofa and just look at that thing. And, she's done a nice job with that. So it delivers that Christmas moment of like, we're looking at Christmassy things on the mantle and around the fireplace. But, and the other deal with the tree, dude, as a cat owner, I know you're going to feel me on this. Like the tree is just a huge source of temptation for my cat. I think it's not an exaggeration to say it's a stumbling block for her. It's a stumbling block for Jane, literally, in that she like can't not fixate on it and then stumble around it and then sometimes pull it down, which is tough, dude. I don't want to be fighting my cat. I don't want to be at odds with my cat during the Christmas season. So rather than have her struggle with it, I've taken the source of temptation out of her life. And I think that's been a value add all the way around. So I want to give you, as Christmas man again, a chance to respond to what I've just said.
Well, baby, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised at my response.
Okay.
Now that you explain it like that, I'm 100% supportive and in favor of everything you just described.
Baby, you could knock me over with a feather right now. I'm shocked.
Or but how I'm about happy. Just a Christmas ornament? How about a Christmas ornament?
Yeah, yeah. Knock me over with a poinsettia.
Well, see, so I'm not, so let me just, for the record, like, so what I would be opposed to is somebody that just, like, doesn't get into the spirit of the season and ignores any kind of, you know, decoration. And it's like, but like, I mean, hey, like, you have to do the kind of decorations that, you know, have some value and meaning for you. If it's not a tree, it can be something else. But there, I don't know. I'm just a big fan of like, hey, it's a particular kind of season and we should celebrate it. And I'm not here to
you're
tell
not here
somebody
to make
how
law.
To celebrate it.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Absolutely not. So I think what you described sounds beautiful. And I think it required a lot of work and a lot of thought and a lot of creativity. And I would say God bless us, everyone. Like, God, I love it, man.
Oh, wow. Yes. Good.
I love it.
Wow.
This I love
a Christmas
it.
Christmas breakthrough pipe. I feel so affirmed by that and cared for by it. I can't hardly. Yeah, I'm a little speechless in this moment. Piper, I want to give you a second to respond, and I also have another question about what Christmas looked like in the Piper household. But first, do you have any feedback on either what I said or what Ron said?
Yeah, I want to start by drawing out what Ronnie said simply as a point of affirmation, which is that, you know, he has been Christmas man now for years and in an ever expanding, filling out, solidifying way. And what he just said might have been sort of the like rubber stamp, most spirit of Christmas kind of thing I've heard him say.
Yeah.
You know, because it took all of the legalism out and just leaned into, you know, enjoyment of Christmas. So well done, Ronnie. You really, you absolutely nailed that.
Yeah. That's like true Christmas vibes right there. Like pure distilled Christmas vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, like Tiny Tim, eat your heart out. So my I just have a follow up question. No, where did the gifts go? You know, because you know traditionally gifts go under the tree. Now families do this different ways. Some of them it's like empty under the tree, and then they all appear Christmas morning. Some of them they progressively fill out. It's kind of part of the decoration and the anticipation. What are you guys doing gifts wise if there's not a sort of centrally located place to put them?
Yeah, no, that's really good. That's really practical. I like that. We're pushing each other now, right? This is like Christmas iron sharpening Christmas iron. We have gone gift wise kind of around the hearth, right? So you still got to be able to get in there and make your fire. So it kind of goes like adjacent to that big fireplace hearth. So we're going kind of off to the side on that deal. Yeah, but it's still Christmassy. And like, I should add another practical thing. I'm glad you asked that, Piper. The stockings hang very traditionally off the mantle. And those are there too, so that provides a nice little Christmas vibe because you got the stockings, beautiful. And the gifts are just kind of there beneath them. So yeah, that's
I love it.
Time. Yeah, yeah. Thanks,
Ronnie.
Baby.
A question for you. Ted has said the word hearth maybe 4 or 5 times. I want to know what that does to your heart when you hear the word hearth repeated.
Well, guys, I think you know this because you can spell, but the word heart is in the word hearth. It's part and parcel. There is no hearth without heart.
Yeah.
And I think that answers the question right there. So my heart is full. My heart is full. So you got to understand, like when Ted dropped the bomb I was just picturing like a house devoid of Christmas.
Yeah.
And when he described the effort and the work and the love and the joy that went into their creation, I mean, it almost made it better than if they had just put up a tree.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, dude. I agree. The tree, in a sense, the tree was holding us back all these years, you know, and it wasn't bad. I mean,
let's not overreach. I'm just saying.
It wasn't bad, but I think in light of some of the other, you know, issues in that room, the tree was kind of holding us back. And you take the stricture of the tree away, and then all of a sudden you could do some magical things in that room. Right?
Well, that's true too, because you know your room, right?
That's so, it, man.
Like, yeah. and that does have. I mean, you know, we've had rooms in the past that have been more conducive, you know, for different kinds of trees or smaller trees. And you got to work with what you have. You just got to work with what you got. You know.
Yeah. Sometimes the tree is such a huge like addition to the room that you can't not have it, but.
100%.
This room pushed us. You know, this room, it made us be better Christmas-wise, and I affirm that aspect of it, and I'm excited about it. Piper, my question to you is, so it sounds to me like you not only didn't have a tree, but you didn't have a lot of other kind of Christmas decorations either, save for this wooden nativity that provided kind of the essence of your Christmas room, and now I want to know from you why your dad was anti-tree, like why there was no tree there. Is it because that was kind of like a pagan symbol of Christmas, as it were?
So let me frame this out a little bit. First of all, all of these decisions were primarily made by my mother, and my dad couldn't care less about decorations.
Okay.
I don't think he would notice.
Yeah.
I think we would get to January and it would never have crossed his mind that there wasn't green and red up or whatever. Like,
just
not his thing. My mom, however, wrote an entire book on traditions and, you know, like how to celebrate in a way that is biblical and honoring to God, and not in a legalistic way, but sort of like these are things you can instill in your family. So she is incredibly thoughtful about everything from, you know, Christmas to birthdays to whatever. So our house was very decorated just not in like the traditional sort of, you know, garland tinsel trees type of thing. My mom probably had somewhere in this, in the dozens of nativity sets from around the world. She's a, she's traveled to like 70 countries or something like that. And for a long time, she would pick up new ones, or missionaries from our church would bring her back just knowing that she liked them.
Yeah.
So like hand-carved ones from Africa and Malaysia and Japan and wherever else. And so those were sort of just all over the place, you know, shelves and the knickknack shelves and the mantle. Cause we had it, we had sort of a big central fireplace that there was always, she would replace the pictures that were above it with Christmas, usually sort of like hand stitched kinds of things above that. So like our living room was very Christmas. It was just very not, kind of your traditional type of Christmas. The other thing is my mom's name is Noel. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about Christmas carols, you'll know that, you know, the first Noel is means Christmas. So there are Noel signs and carvings and whatever all over the place. Cause, and I never could figure out if that was like an ego driven thing or.
Yeah. It's a weird flex by your mom.
Perfect coinciding. She's just like putting her stamp all over. This is my house. But like there was Noels all over the place. So we were very
That'd be like me having Ted signs all over my house, which would be a weird kind of flex, you know.
You know, if 4th of July was also known as like Ted in French, and so you said red, white, and blue Ted up every summer, it'd be like that.
Yeah.
I never thought about it like that, Pipe. That's interesting that she was basically just like she's basically just flexing her name all over your house.
Yeah,
like
I love it.
I mean, you walked in there and you were like, oh, I know whose house this is. I'm not stepping out of line.
But like, you can't say anything because it is Christmas. But like, if I ever walked into my house and saw Lorraine all over the wall, I'd be like, gee, mom,
what are you trying to say?
Yeah. Explain to me like what's going on with the old ego these days, you know?
Oh, I love it, dude. So Piper, where did the presents go in your house?
Well, so the nativity scene that I described. So it was Mary and Joseph, and then there's the, and then my mom would do this thing. So the little hand carved baby Jesus and then the manger were two separate pieces. So the manger would be empty until Christmas morning when we came down and the little wooden baby Jesus would sit in there.
Yeah.
But each of those was like 12, each of those characters, like 10, 12 inches high. So it's a substantial thing. And then there's, you know, donkeys and cows and shepherds. And so my mom would actually like set, we had sort of a bay window area in the front of the house. And she would set up a table there, drape like a Christmas kind of cloth over it, set that whole thing up on it. And, and then the presents would go under that table. So it was still sort of a centrally located front of the house thing.
Yeah.
But no Christmas tree. And I think my parents' opposition to the Christmas tree wasn't like it's immoral as much as there is no direct connection between that and Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and I maybe there is, maybe there's symbol, you know, it's like symbolism. But I don't know what it is. I just know that they're nice decorations. So my mom just wanted everything to be explicit. That's kind of been her MO on celebrating stuff is like, If it's a Christian holiday, like we should celebrate it in a Christian way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Pipe, haven't you said though in recent years that they've really, because of grandkids, they've really loosened their grip on that a little bit, huh?
They've chilled out about it. I still don't think they have a tree, probably just because at this point that's a pain and they're like, I'm not going to all that work. I'm in my 70s now. But yeah, they have eased up a little bit. Like, We had like a liturgical Christmas almost where it was like readings and singing and like, and I was like, oh, can we just open presents? Like I'm here for one reason and it's cinnamon rolls and presents. Can we get to it? You know, because, and in some ways I haven't changed all that much. Like I'm now a pastor and I'm still like, yep, I like cinnamon rolls and presents. But there was, so they've loosened up and it's more like, hey, we're going to read a little bit out of Luke 2. We're going to pray together and then we're just going to kind of relax and enjoy one another. So they've gotten better at enjoying. Also, they're not responsible for raising any small children anymore. So I think they're not trying to shepherd a child's heart anymore, if you will.
Baby, that's your next book, A Liturgical Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah.
It'll sell 10 of copies.
Yeah, tens of kind of like all the other books. Yeah, it'll sell tens of copies. It'll
don't,
be great.
Don't spend that advance all in one place.
Absolutely.
That's a solid publishing idea. Right,
baby, there. Are you question for you, baby. Yeah. I feel like you were expecting so much pushback that you now don't know where to go with all the affirmation.
Yeah, you know what, dude? I'm kind of overwhelmed by the support, by the outpouring of support that I'm getting in this tough time. So I know it's going to mean a lot to my family. I know it's going to mean a lot to my kids when they listen to this. We're just overwhelmed over here. And I mean, I think it's no exaggeration to say that this is maybe the greatest gift that you could have given me this Christmas, because sometimes you have major life decisions and you're scared to tell your family for fear of how they'll judge you. You know what I mean? Like, am I going to be accepted anymore? Are they going to treat me different? And sometimes you sit on that information for years, for decades. And that's kind of how I was feeling about this. And I didn't know if you guys would accept me anymore if you'd look at me differently.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that you described this as one of the best gifts. And let me just say that there's an even better gift, Big T. Yeah. And it reminds me of a book I wrote a few years ago called The Best Gift Ever Given, which was an Advent book for kids released on Harvest House in 2019.
There we go. Yeah, where can they get that?
And they can get that. They can go to Amazon and get that right now. I think it's half off. It's there we also go. Yeah, half
we
off
got, we got to finish the promo. Yeah.
And so I just want you to know that even greater than the gift of affirmation from Pipe and I is the gift that you get from Christ as he was sent by God to, become, God in the flesh and to die for your sins and offer you life everlasting. Big
you know what I love about that too, is that's a little subtle reminder that you're not just a book salesman. You know what I mean? Like correct. You're a pastor too. We got a whole person here,
Right.
That's why you got that strap, dude. That's why you're the Christmas title belt holder and it's not even close.
I know. And that's where all the money and the acclaim, you take away all the books.
Yeah, that's right.
All
baby.
The podcasts.
That's right.
I mean, you strip me of all of those things.
All those
what do I have left?
Defining things. Yeah, that's right. It's you and that Christmas.
There's nothing. I have nothing left.
That's true. Yeah, you have absolutely, literally nothing left with all those things stripped away. But no, man. That means the world. It means a ton. Coming from you, obviously, it's big for me. And Christmas is a time to think not only about the savior of the world, but about your contributions to Christmas. And honestly, I'm not really sure even what order I'm supposed to think about those things in.
I don't know either,
but
I know we are. I know we're treading water right now on this pod.
Yeah.
I think we're treading deep,
to push this thing
dark water.
Yeah.
He was just trying to push this thing across 20 minutes so we could call it a real episode.
Yeah. We're at 20.
And I think we did. I think we're 21 and change. I think, dude, I think that's we conquered success. That for a Christmas app. I think that's generous.
I think boys wait for it. I think we've done what we always do on this program in that we've made an episode out of one, not very consequential thing. And we've done it for 21 minutes. And until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.